Hello and welcome back to the 1412 podcast. I'm the host Tanner Recklitis, and today's version of Tanner Talks, today's verse, we're going to go through John 20 verses 21 and 22. Last night I said that I was going to talk about dunamis today. That's actually not what's going to happen. I noticed that there was, or I realized, remembered that there was something in the middle of the exousia and the dunamis that is crucial to talk about. So we're going to go to John 20, verses 21 and 22. And this is Jesus post-resurrection, and he's talking to his disciples. And he says, or the Bible says, "So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" Now, this is, again, This is kind of a weird thing. You breathe on someone and say, "Receive the Holy Spirit." But there is a direct correlation here to the Old Testament. If we go back all the way to Genesis, when God created Adam and Eve, and I'm flipping there right now. But if we go back to when Adam was essentially born, it says that God breathed in his nostrils, right? So God, the God of the universe, Father God, breathed in the nostrils of Adam, and he was given life. And then through the fall, so through eating the fruit of the tree that God said man could not eat, they fell, they died, right? So, and they didn't physically die, they spiritually died. Their connection with God had there was something between that. There was sin between that distorted the perfect relationship that they had in the garden. So God breathes into Adam and he gives him life. Now Jesus goes to the cross, endures the brutality of the cross, goes to hell, gets the keys back from Satan to the world. He now has all authority. He comes back and he breathes on his disciples and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." What is happening here? If we look at it through the Old Testament lens, God breathing into Adam, we're seeing that man is coming alive again. Man is having purpose again. There's a destiny there. There's a restoration of the original purpose of God on humanity's life. It's Jesus breathing back into us his purpose. And he's saying, okay, guys, like, we messed it up the first time. I've officially won. Let's get back to plan A. Let's get back to ruling, to Jesus ruling the world, to all of creation living unto God, blessing God, and to Jesus's dominion ever increasing across the world. And that was only possible, that's not true. God could come and do a military takeover anytime he wanted. He's God, of course he could. But he chose, and he has chosen to do it through his people. He has chosen to do it through love, through his people taking on his nature and going out to the world and loving the world and just living life in perfect relationship with God. God has provided righteousness for us. Jesus says, when he's talking with his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Unless your righteousness be greater than that of the scribes and Pharisees," and they were known as the most righteous people of their day, "you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven." And the only way that's possible is through the blood of Jesus, through faith in Jesus and in his blood. And there's this cleansing work that happens immediately. It's like, it's right away. Jesus comes, cleanses us. We are completely righteous. We're not actually living in sin. We're free from it. We're free from the power and effect of sin. It's amazing. And that is the foundational thing, that we are free from sin and alive to God. So in this John 20 passage where Jesus breathes on his disciples, I think that most people listening to this understand, but in case there's a little confusion, they became born again at this instance. This is my belief that at this instance they were born again. They had a conversion experience, so to speak, however you want to put it. But they were born again. They were saved. And then we're going to flip over to Luke 24:49. And there's a similar event happening here in Luke. It's Jesus talking with his disciples, opening up the scriptures to them and explaining who he is, what he had to go through, why he had to go through it, what was going to happen. And he's just explaining things. So Luke 24:49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And this is something that I'm going to get into either tomorrow, if something else comes up, maybe later this week. But that word for power is dunamis. And you'll notice that they had to be first born again before they could receive dunamis. And I think that's essential to say. And dunamis is a word, if you would translate it directly into English, it would say miraculous ability. So he's saying, but wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued or filled, fully taken over with miraculous ability from heaven. And he says this, and he's like, you guys got to wait, pray, just wait for me to send this thing, because you can't do anything of importance until I send what I'm going to send. And he didn't really tell them, like he didn't say outright, like, there's going to be these tongues of fire and you're going to be speaking in other languages as the Spirit is giving you utterance and this is what's going to happen. He didn't say that. They were just waiting for something, and they're just like, well, we don't know what it is, but Jesus said to wait for it. And that's what you do when you've seen the resurrected Christ, and you go, like, this guy is beyond anything I've ever seen. Like, I got to follow him. So that's as far as I'm going to go today. We'll come back to dunamis either tomorrow at a later time. I want to thank you guys for listening. I hope that you are getting something out of this. I would love to hear from you. Once again, reach out to me any way you can. You guys are awesome, and I hope you have a good day. Thanks.